Let's open up your Bibles, and if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. The topic that I would give today is vain thoughts of sin. Vain thoughts of sin. And I believe this is a very important topic, and a lot of times we don't see it as we see these things as little sins, not very important things, and a lot of times these are the ones that the enemy comes and put it in our hearts that we don't even see. So it's very important for us to see this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. And here Jeremiah, the prophet, is crying out to Jerusalem. God is speaking through Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is saying, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Now, here Jeremiah is crying out, how long will your vain thoughts lodge within thee, lodging in you? So, many think that when they come to church, their thoughts are focused on heavenly things. That means when people come to church, that's the time they think of God. That's the time their thoughts are focused on heavenly things. How about when you're outside of the church? How about when you're at home? How about when you're at work? How about when you're on the street? How about wherever you are? So we need to see this. What is vain thoughts? Okay. Now the Hebrew word vain is aven, A-V-E-N. Okay. This word has different meanings. This word have meanings like trouble, sorrow, idolatry, wickedness, iniquity, and emptiness. The primary meaning has the root meaning has two meanings. Okay, the one is stress when you're troubled. Okay, how can you say vain thoughts? What does that has to do with stress when you're troubled? All right. Actually, if you look in deeper, it is stress when you're troubled which moves you to sin. A good example is Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the world, and we became unfruitful. So the cares of this world can choke you and trouble you, and it will cause you to sin. And the other word, other part of this word, aven, that is broken into two, is the emptiness, just emptiness. What does emptiness do? Empty, when you're totally emptiness in your thoughts and so forth like that, well, it moves into idolatry. That's what the emptiness does. If you have nothing else to do, the enemy will come and tell you what to do. Okay? And Psalm chapter 39, verse 6 says, surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain and heaped up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. Now this word is used 85 times in the Word of God. So in short, thoughts of vanity are thoughts of sin, and the result is trouble and sorrow. And here we see, I'm going to show you the result. Here we see God's word to Judah. God is armed to punish Judah of her sins. God's voice thunders through the prophet Jeremiah for Judah to repent of her sins. Judah was appeasing to God of her external show of obedience, but not from the heart. The Lord did not ask Judah to wash their hands or to cleanse their outward behavior. But the washing of the heart, that's what God is asking. Not the outward washing, not the outward performance, but the heart. Repentance is an inward feeling, is not an outward show. Many times, man does not see his sins because man's heart is deceitful above all things. Now, when Jeremiah was talking about this, that how vain thoughts have lodged in their hearts, and how they need to be washed of their sins, not outwardly, but their hearts needs to be cleansed. And as we saw, the word, it literally means what? Vanity are thoughts of sin, and the result is trouble and sorrow. Now, how do you know that this result is trouble and sorrow? Of course, you're talking from a God's perspective. Jeremiah was preaching the judgment that is going to come upon Judah. What happened? People did not listen. They continued to listen, continued to sin. And judgment of God came. And in the book of Lamentation is a continuation of Jeremiah. It's the same author writing. The result is found in the book of Lamentation. And the book of Lamentation, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, Jeremiah is saying, how doth the city remain solitary that was full of people? She's a widow. She that was great among the nations and princess among the promises is made tributary. And Judah is carried away captive because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelt among the heathen and findeth no rest. All her persecutors took her in the straits. And here we see that Judah was taken captive. How the God allowed the enemy to come and plunder and to kill and to destroy Judah because they did not listen to the word of God. And that is what? Trouble and sorrow. Weeping. Okay? Jeremiah, that's what this word means, and that's what happened. And Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Joel chapter 2 verse 13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. God doesn't want outward performances. God wants your heart to be right before Him. Now, hypocrites think that their outward performance to God will pacify God, and that God will forgive them. And the prophets cried out, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long? It's not just for an hour, it's not just for a day, it's not just for a week, it is continual. So Jeremiah prophesied the coming judgment of God, but Judah, at that time, Judah was in peace. Everything was fine. What kind of judgment that is going to come? We are living in comfort and peace. Doesn't that sound like today? False prophets were in abundance. And they were prophesying also, saying that God is not going to judge. Just like today, we hear the pulpits are filled with false ministers crying out, saying, God is love, peace. But they will never expose the sins of man. They will not talk about the wrath of God. And all you what you hear, majority of the pulpits, is a sugar-coated, fancy gospel. In the same way, Jeremiah was proclaiming the coming judgment of God. But years passed by, no judgment. So when there is no judgment, people continue to sin. They continue to sin. And because they didn't see the judgment of God, but suddenly the judgment came. Suddenly. Jeremiah's preaching, let me tell you, did not convict the people. It's the same today, isn't it? true preaching will not continue. A lot of people, there is no conviction. We are going to see why. They did not blush for their sins. If we even if we keep on reading the book of Jeremiah, it says they didn't even blush of their sins, as they did not obey God's word. This is what they said. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 35. God knows the hearts of the people, and this is what the people said. I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned from me. Behold, I will bring you to judgment for saying, I have not sinned. So people are saying, what kind of sin I have done? I am innocent. I have not sinned. They don't even blush of their sins. Now sometimes, the more longer God is going to wait on his judgment, the severe the punishment is going to be. Okay? The longer the God is going to wait for his judgment to come, the severe the punishment is going to be. And during this time, God sends his servants to the world, calling people to repent. What is the sin? What was the sin of Judah? Vain thoughts lodge in them. Vain thoughts lodge in them. Lodge in them. What are the thoughts? What is a thought? What are the thoughts? Thoughts are inward motions acting of the soul. If you go to most of the preachers today on the commentaries, you don't see this. The Puritans saw this so clearly. And the Puritans said, the thoughts are inward motions acting of the soul. Thoughts that your mind desires. Thoughts are internal acts of the mind of man. All those reasoning, consultations, purposes, resolutions, intents, desires, and the cares of the mind are thoughts. Now, a lot of times, just like in Judah's time, there were people who looked very religious outwardly. Their acts of religious ceremonies or performance looked like they were very religious people. So, hypocrites can fool a lot of people because of their external performances. Because their external outward works may look very good in front of others, but their thoughts may be just the opposite. See, you get the thought that is in the heart, that could be evil, sinful, but your works could be totally different. Now, God is God. When we see something, we see the outward things, right? And we say, wow, that person must be a very good religious person. Because we see only the outward. We don't see the inside. But God can see not only their works, but also the thoughts. There is one scripture that says that God knows not only the works, but also the thoughts. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 18. Isaiah 66, verse 18. The word of the Lord says, for I know their works and their thoughts. Psalm chapter 94, verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Sometimes these thoughts will grow, okay, and it will breed, okay, in our hearts. And the fruits of the thoughts are what? Actions. So the thoughts will begin in the hearts, and it will breed, and it will grow, and the fruits are actions. These thoughts will manifest and break out in action, and this is called the works of disobedience. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Do you understand what I'm talking here? Everybody? Okay. So, good. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God sees that the wickedness, every intention of his thought, of the heart, was evil. And these thoughts can be, that begins in the heart, and it will breed, and little by little it can grow, and suddenly the fruits will come into action. That is going to be utter evil. Now, heart is the seat and the center of all affection, and it's the fountain of all action. The heart sets the mind to work. It is the heart that sets the mind to work. It is a heart that will invent. It is a heart that will plan and design the thoughts. Okay? So when the thoughts come, it is the heart is the one that will design and the planning and all these things. And we call it the thoughts of the heart. Now, what are vain thoughts? What are vain thoughts? Let me give you a scripture. Jesus said, Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." So everything comes from the heart. Now, what are vain thoughts? Vain thoughts are sinful thoughts. Let's go more deeper and expose some of these vain, sinful thoughts. If you think that you're a good person by nature, that's a vain thought. Because it just goes opposite to what the Bible says. If you trust in your church for salvation, that's a vain thought. If you trust in your opinion and trust in yourself, that's a vain thought. If you trust in ritualism, that's a vain thought. If you think of the world's glories, material things, comforts, honor, pride, greed, and thinking of Christ is just limited for a small occasion and for a time only, then these are all vain thoughts. And if you think you can go to heaven by good works, that's a vain thought. If you are prideful and will not cry out in mercy for your sins and will not fall at the feet of Jesus, those are vain thoughts. If the Word of God convicts you of sin and you compromise, that's a vain thought. So this is a huge subject we are talking. You can go on and on and on. And you got to say everything from the light of the Word of God be measured. Jeremiah cries out to a nation saying, "How long thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" Vain, empty, sinful thoughts are welcome to the hearts, and they lodge in the hearts of many. One Puritan described, "The heart is like a home with many rooms. And there are guests who will come to this home and lodge in these rooms. Guests of different kinds, they will, so the heart will entertain these guests. When you are getting fed from the world and your hearts are kept open to the world, like having an open, direct access to the world, the devil and his demons have an open, direct access to your heart. These evil forces will tempt you, and it is so tempt you, and these all kinds of empty, vain, greedy thoughts, will selfish thoughts will come to your hearts, and they will lodge in your heart. And these evil forces, you know, sometimes it's, they don't come like a devilish or look so wicked. They will look so good, so tempting. And sometimes it will show you, you know, I really need that. You know, it looks good. That's the deception. So these evil forces will tempt you, and a lot of times many are welcoming these fun, loving, pleasurable, lovable, dainty pleasures, and they will lodge in their hearts. They will defile those rooms in your hearts. Where does this vain thoughts come from? Because the enemy is involved here. Okay? And of course, our flesh is inviting them. Comes from the world. So you get the three. The world, the flesh, and the enemy. They come from the world. Just imagine, when I was thinking about this, just imagine the influence of the media today of a society. Just imagine the influence of the media today on the society. Millions of dollars are spent to target the minds of the masses through temptation. Millions of dollars are spent just to target your mind through temptation. This temptation does not come in black and white anymore. They come in high definition, LCD or plasma TV with stereo sound. Oh, sounds good. Looks pretty. The devil is putting all these things coming straight into you, like he's shooting these beautiful, sweet arrows to you. Take this one. Take this one. Here, I'll give you another one. Alright? So all these things, our media is influencing you and bringing all these things into you. And here you are wearing, mouth open, looking at it, and say, good. Looks good. The media is manipulating the minds of the people daily. The media is influencing people's minds so great, as people, sometimes they turn the media to see what is truth and what is not truth. There are no absolutes now, because they had taken away the Bible. The media has a strong say to say which one is truth and which one is not. They gave a verdict eventually. They have made the true word of God into a lie. Media will not promote the word of God. They will suppress the truth. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. I'm going to read it here. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, which withhold the truth in unrighteousness. For as much as that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, that is His eternal power and Godhead, are seen by the creation of the world, being considered in His work, to the intent that they should be without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? Vain in their thoughts, that their foolish hearts were full of darkness. When they professed themselves to be wise, they became fools, for they turned the glory of the incorruptible God to a similitude of the image of the corruptible man, and of birds, four-footed beasts, and of creeping things. Wherefore also God gave them up to their hearts lust into uncleanliness, to defile their own bodies between them, while turned the truth of God into a lie." Doesn't that sound like a media? "And worship and serve the creature, forsaking the Creator, which is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men left the natural use of the woman and burned their lust one towards another, and man with man wrought filthiness and received in themselves such recompense of their error was as was meet, for they regarded not to acknowledge God, even so delivered them unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Wow. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what is a reprobate mind means? Reprobate mind means a remorse sin that you will have no sorrow of your sins anymore. You don't feel sorrow of any sins anymore. That's a reprobate mind. That means there is no conviction anymore of sins. You will not fall down at the feet of Jesus and cry out and say, God, I have sinned against you. If you do that, that's a godly mind. But reprobate mind is a remorse. There's no conviction, no godly sorrow. And here, what do we see here? This looks just like the media, how media is influencing a society today. And many people are buying it. In the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 20, says here, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Just like the media, they are speaking to against God wickedly, and they are taking the name of God in vain. Psalm chapter 10 verse 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And here, these are vain thoughts. God is not in their thoughts because of pride. These people are prideful. They don't want to fall at the feet of Jesus. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, is invited to the heart. You got to see first to invite. You got to hear first to the invite, to invite it. So here you see, the more colorful, the better. The more sound, the better. And you say, wow, I like that. And you invite. What are you inviting to the hearts? This empty, vain imagination. Sinful thoughts begin to breed in the heart, then they will lodge in the hearts in your rooms. Galatians chapter 5 verse 26, Apostle Paul said, let us not be desirous of vain glory, but we need to provoke one another. Remember, Satan and his demons are working 24/7. When I say 24/7 means without stop. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they are working to promote what? Ungodliness. And Satan and his demons are using the media as a tool to accomplish this task. It's satanic. Satanic. It's from the pit. Satan and his demons are using the media as a tool to promote ungodliness, profanity, filth, sin, wickedness, entertainment that goes after the world. It's promoted. The media is lodged in people's hearts. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, Apostle Paul said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. That's all what you hear when you see on the media. It's vain babblings. It profits nothing. And it brings increase ungodliness. That's what Apostle Paul said. And because of these things, there are some Christians, their love to the Lord has become so cold. Because the media is bringing so colorful, lustful, beautiful, vain glory is being promoted, and the beautiful stereo sound comes here. God, see, where is the love of the Lord? Where do you see Jesus is lovable? Where do you see the beauty of Jesus, the glory of God? has become cold. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 verse 12, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's a scripture. During the time of Jeremiah, false prophets gained in popularity as they were preaching peace instead of judgment of God. These false prophets were preaching peace instead of judgment of God. They preached what the people wanted to hear. They preached to the flesh, not to the soul. Satan has not changed his tactics since those old days. He is doing it today even more craftily, as there are so many false prophets are preaching false doctrines, and many false preachers are gaining popularity. When you say a lie continually, it becomes like a truth. Today, as there is an election coming, you know, for the presidential election coming today, there's a Mormon running for the presidency in this country, in the United States. Even the conservative media is calling Mormonism as Christians. Now, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago, if you heard that a Mormon is running for presidency, this country would explode. But today, the media has, you can see, it's nothing. And their Mormons are presented as Christians, good people. That's how the media has presented. Even the conservative Christian talk show hosts, that's what they say. And what do they know about doctrine? What do they know about theology? Absolutely nothing. So that's why we need to go to the Word of God. The media is brainwashing the people, and the Bible is not the final authority anymore. The false prophets are increasing daily. Satan's goals, but you know the goal of Satan? And he's doing this beautifully through the media. His goal is to doubt the Word of God. Remember how when the enemy deceived Adam and Eve, did God say this? Put in doubt. That is the goal of the enemy. And that's exactly what you're going to hear from the media. It's doubting the Bible, doubting the living God, doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, after the death of Jesus, suddenly the disciples saw Jesus walking on water towards them. But Jesus saw their minds. Being God, he knows what's in their minds. You know what Jesus said? In Luke chapter 24, verse 38, Jesus said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He saw the word trouble from the very beginning, huh? The Hebrew word. Why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Here we see their trouble as vain thoughts have come to their minds, as the enemy has put these vain thoughts into their heart, doubting. This is Jesus. Doubting, this is not Jesus. See, that's what the enemy does. He doubts. He puts doubts. And he does that very good through the media. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets and prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak of a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of God. And God is saying they are talking in their own imagination. It's not the word of God, these false prophets. And the other thing is, false prophets, they will never preach on conviction of sin. That's how you know they are false prophets. You will never get convicted of your sins. In Lamentation chapter 2 verse 14 says, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity. To turn away by captivity, they have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. They have not discovered thine iniquity. They have not preached your sins. These men, they come near to God in their performances, looks very good, but their vain thoughts draw away from God. And you know, these people, they had no growth, absolutely no growth in their sanctification, because their thoughts are far away from God. Although they are very close to God in their performances, their thoughts are far away from God. And Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13, the Lord said, because these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things the cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The media is promoting worldliness into our hearts. The other day I got a letter. When I opened it, it says, how to be rich and to stay rich. That's what the media is promoting. How to be rich and to stay rich. Sounds good? Well, this is so pleasing to the flesh, isn't it? The worst vanity is to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Many are thinking of the American dream. How they can get rich in this world. And many fancy these imaginations and they thirst after these imaginations. They are drunk in the world. You know, they don't see the word of God. They are drunk in the world. Their mind is not on Christ, but on earthly places. They put so much time and labor for the things of this world, and they treasure this world more than Christ. Time and labor is not put in Christ. They don't have time to read the word of God, but they have time to do all the other things. Psalm chapter 49 verse 11 says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. Psalm 49 verse 17 says, for when he died, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he bless his soul, and men will praise thee. When thou dost well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. These people, they never see light because they go into darkness. Man that is in honor and understand not is like a beast that perishes. In short, how to stay rich? No, how to be rich and how to stay rich and die like a beast. That's what the psalmist is saying. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus said, but watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, that one day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be so caught up in this world, so caught up on these cares of this world, but one day, God, one day, suddenly, like a trap, you will be gone to hell. Basically, you will be lost. You're living in a worldly, sinful life with the cares of this world. Suddenly, the Lord's timing will come that people can die anytime. Then it's too late. On the other hand, I like to see the bright side at the end, always. On the other hand, when the Christian is tempted by the world, and the devil and the demons are knocking on the Christian's hearts, I want to enter. Do you have some room in your heart? I want to get a room in your heart. And knocking on Christian's heart. Christian goes, where does the Christian go when the devil knocks on your heart? Huh? Well, what did Jesus do when the devil knocked on Jesus' heart? Goes to the scripture. That's what Jesus did. That's why we need to memorize and meditate and think on these scriptures. Otherwise, there's no way you can live on this world. There's no way you can take the narrow road. So the devil comes, knocks on Christian's heart. Can I come in? I got something very nice for you. Look at this, so beautiful. And you get tempted and everything. You look like that. Huh. You have meditated on those scriptures. And you say, what do you say? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Wow! That's a true Christian. It's the word of God. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. How many have fallen into the trap of Satan and his demons? They have become slaves to the enemy and they don't even know that they are slaves. They have invited this lustful imagination, lustful thoughts, the riches and the beauty of this world, and these guests are lodging in their hearts and they are now falling down and worshipping these things because they love these things and they have no affection for Christ. No desire for Christ. Because there are evil guests that are lodging in their hearts. Let me ask you a question. I have been thinking about this for a long time. This whole week. Why is it many people who attend church will not remember the sermon that was preached before? Last week. Many people who attend the church, if you ask, what was the sermon last week? They don't remember. They don't remember the scriptures. If I ask, what were the scriptures that were used? They don't remember. So they don't remember spiritual things. But if I ask them, who won the basketball game? Who are in the finals? About sports, of any current event of the sports, or anything on TV about a movie, or if I asked you about people, about the politics, what is going on and who is running and what's happening, about the stories and the jokes, what they heard during that week, they remember all. They remember everything. Why they cannot remember the word of God? Why? Why they cannot remember the most important, the spiritual things, where Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why is it that people can remember all the fleshly things, but not remember the most important, the spiritual things? Why? You know why? You are bombarded through the media. Yeah. You're bombarded through the media. Why do people forget the most important? You know, is this pleasing to God? When you don't remember what you heard, and you don't remember the scriptures, but you remember all the fleshly things, is that pleasing to God? Absolutely not. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus said, and that seed that fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, through the sermon, go forth and are choked. They are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. That's what happened. The guests whom Satan and the demons are sending, they are choking the word of God. Because there are guests that is large in your heart, then there is no room to be large. The word of God has no room in your hearts. The word of God has no room in your hearts because there are pleasurable, evil, sinful guests that are already in the heart. And these guests have become a substitute to the word of God. Many who think they are Christians are wrapped up with these worldly things. And I wonder, are some people are Christians at all? It's very scary. Because the Bible says, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed it can be. So then they hate that are in the flesh. They who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. That's what Romans 8:7 says. They cannot please God. So is it pleasing to God? No. Let me tell you, the life does not come, a life will not come out of a grave. A clean thing will not come out of an unclean thing. You must be born from above. You must have a new heart, and a new heart comes with a new mind. Now, outward repentance is not outward repentance, it's inward repentance. Jeremiah said, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou may be saved. Thomas Goodwin, the Puritan, lived in the 1600s, gives some very good advice on this subject. And I'm going to paraphrase. He said, once you discover the vanity in your heart, be humble to the word of God. Humble to the word of God. Pride will never get you to heaven. Never. The second advice he gives is, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. That means you need to check your heart daily. Not checking the heart when you are sick, you go to the doctor to see how healthy you are. The doctor will check you physically, but you need to check yourself spiritually. Check your heart spiritually in the morning, noontime, and the nighttime. Because if we are left alone, I was thinking about this all the time this week. If we are left alone, we will go astray just like sheep. In our own way we will go. Because our hearts would love to go after those things that are pleasing. Heart is sanctified, and the true affections of God is there only when God's grace comes upon to a person. When God gives a new heart, the old man is crucified. Now those old guests who lodge in the heart are crucified. Now there are holy guests who are invited. Instead of those guests, now we are inviting the holy guests. Now there is holy, now there is sweet, now there is heavenly thoughts that will come to our hearts. And it delights the heart of the believer and say, wow, I never experienced such joy. All the joy that the world gives is trash. Now I'm experiencing the beauty of the Lord. Experiences this delight when I read the word of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, Apostle Paul in Romans 12:2, starting from verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give up your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of God. Then verse 2 says, and fashion or conform not yourself unto this world, but you be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. That means, basically, renewing of your mind is like the Greek word there, I believe, is like a renovation. You have gone through a renovation. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established or be ordained. So when you commit yourself to the Lord, your thoughts are going to be ordained. That means your thoughts are going to be established in the right way. Because it's God who rules your heart now. It's not you anymore. Okay, God rules because He is the King in the kingdom. God is the most glorious, most majestic, most alluring, most holy, most worthy. How we need to think of God and our Lord Jesus Christ above all things and meditate upon heavenly things, because our citizenship is not of this world but of heaven. As Jesus Christ is seated in the right hand of the Father, and we, how we need to set our minds upon Him. Colossians 3:2. And it says here, but when the enemy tempts us with this world, with glorious, vain things, the enemy tempts us, what do we say? Psalmist said, 119, 113, Psalmist said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law, I love it. Wow. See, that's what happens. There is a transformation. There's a new heart is given. A new mind is given. A new attitude is given. A new behavior is given. A new person. I hate vain thoughts, but I do love my Bible. The devil will bring distractions from God in order to bring attractions of this world. Christ told us to watch and pray. So we have to put a guard at the door of our heart. And that God is prayer. Pray daily in the morning. Pray daily in the evening. And God, ask to God to give you grace. You know, every day when I wake up in the morning, that's my prayer. I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, please, give me grace, Lord. So I am, this is another day. Give me grace to go on this narrow road, because I cannot do it on my own. I know, Lord, the enemy will come and bring all kinds of temptation in front of me, but give me grace. And in the evening, you thank God. Evening, you give thankfulness to the Lord. So, help you to walk and to protect you from the temptations of the enemy. In Psalm 5 verse 3 says, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Are you praying in the morning? Early morning? When you wake up, are you praying to the Lord and asking the Lord? So these lustful thoughts, these deceitful things come into your heart. You know where to go, to the Word of God. And the enemy brings these things. You quote the scripture to the enemy and you turn those things off and run to God, flee to God. Are you praying to God and asking, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Are you praying like that? Are you be honest before God? Are you truthful before God? Are you falling at the feet of Jesus every day and asking Jesus to give you the grace? Beloved, this looks like a subject that has been forgotten by many. It looks like it's a hidden sin that you don't see. It's hidden because the enemy doesn't want to be known. And I pray that this sermon that what you heard today, you will meditate for the rest of the week, so your souls will be blessed. Amen.